Okay, cool. Is this okay?
Better.
Okay. Hi, my name is Cooper. I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. Thank you, Janusz, for asking me to speak. I was at work and I got my Google reminder at like 15 minutes before I was supposed to be here. So I sort of like ran through Chelsea, which is very dramatic and fun to like run through New York. People think you're like stealing and it's kind of exciting. Let's see. So never had a legal drink makes me nervous because I didn't get sober until I was like 28 or 29. When I think about my using, I was like, oh, well, I smoked my first joint when I was 13. My friend Layla, who lived down the street from me, was like, I have pot. Do you want to come and meet me? And I grew up in Arizona, and we used to hang out. Like, they have these tunnels that come off the mountains that are for, like, drainage, and they're huge, like, silo crazy. And we'd hang out in the middle of them. And so we went in there, and we were, like, smoking pot. And I don't remember it, but I remember them being like, you smoked all the pot. Like, you... would like, I don't know what, I got like extra connection on the like, you know, beer can that we were using. And so I like, I don't know, I was like, well, I'm sorry. And then that turned into like, just like alcohol, you know, regularly. But the first time I got drunk, I got really drunk, but I didn't realize what I was doing. I drank Wild Turkey for the first time. And, Layla's parents had an atrium in the middle of their 70s designed Pueblo ranch house, and it had like a sliding glass door, and I just remember that I locked myself inside of the thing. Like, I just went in there and like laid down, and I remember her father coming in and being like, he was from Iran, he was like, Koopy, are you okay? And I was like, like, you know. And then that's all I remember from being drunk the first time. But I remember that it was entertaining. I remember that I entertained people. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't really set out, like, I wasn't one of those people that was like, I want to do drugs because, like, all the cool people are doing drugs. I kind of just did drugs because, like, they were there, I think. Somehow the alcohol quickly escalated into crystal meth. So when... yeah, whatever. Cheap, effective, high is what I was looking for. Because by the time I was like a freshman in high school, I was like smoking crystal in the bathroom. And I don't know why that seemed like normal and okay. I was getting a lot of my schoolwork done. And so everyone was like totally happy with it. I was like, you know, blowing through papers, like, whatever. Next paper, please. That went on for a really long time. I moved to New York. I have the notion that as soon as I got a car from my parents, I would obtain a pound of mushrooms and a couple of pounds of marijuana, and I would drive to San Francisco, and I would sell drugs and then become famous or something. I don't know. Like, I didn't even want fame. I just wanted like happy. Like, I just wanted to like get out of Arizona. It's so boring. But I suppose any place is boring. So when I was 16, I packed up the car and I put the marijuana behind, like, you could take out like the dashboard or the glove box part, like you could open it up and pull it out, and then we put it all behind there and then like pushed it all back in there. And I don't know what part of the car, it was a shitty Ford Thunderbird that we had bought from like some guy down the street for like $1,000 or something, and some part of the car leaked all over the pot and the mushrooms when we were driving up there. And so my genius MacGyver tool was to spray it all down with like room deodorizer or something like that. Or like, we were like, we'll just make it like smell better. And we sprayed it all down, So then anyone who ever was like buying the pot was like, why does this smell like a fresh meadow of white linen springs? And so no one bought the pot. And I, of course, was smoking it the whole time because I was like, whatever. Like, you guys are just losing out because there's aerosol on this pot and it's even better than regular pot. And so, you know, my plan immediately was like, whatever, foiled. I hung out with like this group of girls that were strippers in San Francisco. I know, right? They're terrific. And they were like so sweet. And I think I was like so young and like weird that they thought, oh, we'll just like let him live with us. I mean, I knew one of them really well. I'm still friends with her. Still today. And I just lived with them. And then I saved up enough money to drive to New York. My father lived in New Jersey. So by the time I was like 17, I was now living in New Jersey with my father. And my father was a military. I was born on a military base. He was a fighter pilot turned tennis coach in the 80s. So it was like Top Gun, and then all of a sudden it was like tennis coach. So he was like, he was so busy like hitting on ladies at the club that he did not care what was going on. And I just continued drugging and coming to the city because now I was close to New York. And it was probably like 1996 or like 97. And we had just missed, like Disco 2000, and the limelight had sort of like, you know, certain things had happened that may or may not have been in the paper that ruined those clubs for the rest of us. And I was really holding on to like platform shoes and, you know, inappropriate facial piercings and all that stuff. And I would come to the city and like party and the other thing. And my parents or my father just thought it was like totally normal. And I just continued my lifestyle of sort of like, any drug was a good drug. Anything was fine. Put it in my mouth. I don't care what it is. We would find baggies on the floor, and like it was not even like, I mean, we didn't even think, it was like a lucky thing. We were like, oh my God, you know, heroin. And it didn't even matter what it was. And I was happy. Like, it was really okay for a little while. But then things started to happen. And when I first came into the rooms, I always thought, oh, I didn't have like a low bottom because I was like functioning and I always kept a job. And, you know, everyone around me was sort of actively using. So like, it didn't really register to me that like what I was doing was actually living through multiple bottoms. I mean, there was a moment in high school when I was smoking crystal meth that they made me go to the doctor's office because I was having like, I don't know if you've ever done tons of speed, you have these moments where like all of a sudden you lose your breath and you're like, like, and you get like your body's like, I have to stop. And then like it stops for a second and like it feels really weird. Like you kind of almost die, but you don't die. And then you're there. And they were like, go to the nurse. And I was like, she was like, your heartbeat is incredibly fast. And I was like, she's like, are you on drugs? And I'm like, no. So like, I mean, there were these multiple times where it was like, clearly that's like a bottom when you're like 14-year-old child. It was like, you know, or when you're a 14-year-old and you're like, you know, but it never even hit me. I kind of thought that everyone else was doing it too. Like, I kind of was convinced that like the world was on drugs and like, finally I'm an adult and this is what adults do. That adult notion turned me into like a 7 or 8 martini limit kind of like bitter gay queen at like the, you know, ripe age of like 24. I was like sitting at the bar like, oh, who's this fucking piece of nice work? How are you doing? You know, like just an asshole, just a total. And people would just like look at me and be like, you know, one another. Like, it was just, it was bad. So, you know, that continued. I don't really see, I never had any, like, sort of moments where it was like, oh, like, this happened, and then I, you know, was whatever. I was at work one day, and I was so hungover that I couldn't stand up. And, you know, like, when you would show up, and I would show up at work, and I would still be drunk, and I always thought that was, like, a good thing. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, still drunk. And I'd be, like, at work, like, yeah. And then when, like, 12 o'clock comes around, and you're like, oh, God. And then it's, like, horrible because it's, like, you know, this, like, lighting. And, like, you're like, oh, I'm at work, and these people suck, and I'm coming down. And my boss was like, if you don't, like, get your shit together, we're not going to hire you anymore. And I kind of, like, laughed it off. And then that the one time happened where I couldn't stand up, and I thought I would, I thought it was fine that I was doing my job laying on the ground, and people would come into where I was working and be like, hi, and I'm like, hi, and they're like, okay, so you're all right? And I'm like, totally, I'm so great. And I was like literally like pointing at things, like laying on the ground. It was so stupid. And then finally the person was like, yeah, like you have to like do something. I go to this place, it's called AA. And I go and sit in a church, and I sit in a church with these other people, and I don't know what happens, but I talk to them, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it's so fucking boring. Like, every person that was like, you know, fun in my life at that time was like a complete alcoholic. I mean, actually, I shouldn't qualify them. They drank very heavily, constantly, all the time. And there was a part in my life, which this always sort of like ruins things, but I was like hanging out with a group of people that were in nightlife. And so, like, again, it seemed really normal. Like, it just seemed like, I don't even understand, you know. So I came into the rooms, let's see, and it took me a second. It took me like two tries to sort of figure out what was happening. I didn't want to stop smoking pot. I knew that drinking was really bad. Like, I knew that it had gotten to the point. My bottom, now that I realize further on, you know, in hindsight or whatever, or with more clarity, is that I was really depressed. Like, I was so, everything was so dark. And it just, there, like, I didn't really have any, like, I don't want it to sound like a cliche, but there were, like, I was just sort of, like, waking up, showing up to work, and then, like, whatever. Like, after that, I was like, fuck off. I'm going to the bar. Like, that's where I felt okay, was to, like, sit at a really bad bar called Nowhere Bar. Oh, so bad. I went on a date there recently, and he was like, you want to get drinks? And I was like, sure, I'll get the drinks. And then I ordered him a drink, and they put this, like, measly drink on the bar. It was, like, that big, and it had, like, a, you know, a lime and a thing. And I was like, how much is that? And they were like, you know, whatever it was. And I'm like, can you just make it a double? And so then they put it in the pint, like the pint glass. And then I watched him like dump it in there and then just like dump all the vodka on it. And I was like, yeah, that's a drink. And then, because I was drinking those, like whatever. Like that was like the right size, right? And then I brought it to the date and he was like, why would you get me such a big drink? And then it like became like a weird thing where he was like, why are you getting me like this huge drink? Like, are you trying to get me like wasted for the thing? And I was like, that seems like a perfectly normal size drink to me. Like, how like long are you gonna, like, you don't have to go back to the bar now for like at least 10 minutes before you drink this drink, you know? Like, but then I was kind of like at that moment where I was like, ooh, I am an alcoholic. I don't even blink twice at that. I'd be like, is it two for one night? All right. So sitting at that bar just got so like dark and stupid. And I was just like sitting around and, you know, I started having like weird health problems, just like stuff. Oh God. Oh, well, the sex was just, I mean, if there was a dirty fucking pole in the subway, I would lick it. Like, I was so like, oh, just, oh, the things that I, oh my God, the people and the places were so insane. I one time ended up at this person's house, and I'll just tell you guys, we're all friends, right? And so I ended up at this guy's house, and I was, his fetish was, this is I, the combination still to this day. I wish I could find him. His fetish was football gear and then sneezing. So at the same time, so I was in like football pads and like a helmet and like size like 13 cleats that he had saved and like a jock strap. And he's a little bit, he was older than me. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, really? Like, so big and stupid. And I was inhaling pepper and sneezing while the man was like, whatever he was doing. And the whole thing was fueled with alcohol and crystal meth. And I was like into collecting the story. Like, I was like, that was pretty funny. And then I would like go to work and be like, ah. Like, I woke up today with like a boot on my face. People would be like, what the fuck is your problem? And like, Callen Lord, that Callen Lord clinic, oh my God. They would just be like, hey, Coop, sixth floor? Because I was all the time just being like, I don't, like, I'm crawling and stuff. Like, I don't know what it is. And they'd be like, ugh, Cooper. Like, still to this day, when they look at my, when they like roll down the thing, they're like, Jesus. Like, okay. Like, you've had like everything like six times. Okay, that's great. Penicillin clearly is not going to do the job on this one. Well, move on. So that was like, it was that sort of like depression and that sort of like dark thing. And like, it was just gloomy and bad. And I realized I have to make a change. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm over me. Like, I'm over this thing. And like, so I went to Fire Island and to get away. And I had this friend that was there and we were sitting at the bar. Just two gal pals, like, talking out, and we were like, I hate this, blah, blah. And, this was, like 2 weeks before I had to go back to work, or, like, a week before I had to go back to work. And we're like, I just want, like, I'm fat and gross and, like, hate it, like, everyone, blah, look at this go-go dancing queen, your life. You know, it's just, people would just be like, you guys are so sad. Like, whatever, it was so sad. And so he and I had this weird conversation, and then I came back to the city, and somehow, like, higher power, the whole thing, I went to a meeting. I walked into a meeting, and it was at French Church on 16th Street on a Monday. And when I walked in the door, there was this guy that was standing there, and 10 years ago, I had driven him to rehab in Nashville. And like outside, my mother lives in Nashville, and we all went there to drive him to rehab to say goodbye. And I remember, like, as soon as we dropped him off, we like lit a joint and we were like, poor guy, poor thing. Driving away. Yeah. And so he was there and I was like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah, man, thank God. Like, I've been waiting for you. And we're like, you know, like, here you are. And I was like, oh my God. Well, if he's here, like, it's okay. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, okay, I can do this. And I sat through the thing. And then I came back, like, the next week. And I finally was like, my name's Cooper. I'm an alcoholic, and I've got 5 days. And then, like, right after that, the person from Fire Island that we had, like, the weird conversation was sitting in the back of the room and was like, my name is blah, 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 and I have 5 days. And we had the exact, and when I was like, what? And I like turned around and he like waved, and then it was so weird. And we were like, what happened? And he was like, I'm just done. And I'm like, we're done. And then we like had that like, you know, moment where it was like, I mean, I was really lucky because I had a moment where I was like, it's okay, because, you know, like there were people there. Like I really, really, really count on other people in my life. I really need a community of people. I need to know that I'm not here alone doing this thing alone, because the second that I think I'm alone, crazy stuff happens. Like I am just so like, I still get excited like if my parents leave their house and I'm there alone, like I like look for food, like I get like really excited, I'm like ooh, and it's like adrenaline, I'm like marshmallows, and I get like excited that I'm gonna like eat the food that they don't know I'm eating. It's like my brain will just take me to some place when I'm alone that is so not good, and it's usually starts with like self hate. Like I do that thing where I just start talking to myself about how bad my life is, how I fucked up my childhood, how I've wasted so much time, how this person's smarter than me and that person's cooler than me and this person's like got more money and they're like this and I'm here and that. And it really drives me crazy. I mean, I still to this day have to really check myself. You know, I really try and say in the mornings, you know, thy will be done, because if I try and step in and do my thing, cool, yeah, thank you. I make decisions that are just so silly. And it has nothing to do with reality. Like, I really, 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 and it's funny because in sobriety, like, you catch yourself when you're like, that asshole, he's pulling one over on me, I'm gonna, and then you're like, oops, I found it, it's right here, sorry. You know, and you're like, you'll totally just like, you know, and I try to catch myself on those things because I really need proof. Like, I really need to know, like, I was totally wrong. Like, I'm so wrong. And I'm so wrong that, like, you know, I need a group of other people to tell me that I'm like wrong and right. You know what I mean? I need this, and I need a therapist, and I need a yoga instructor, and I need like a friend and a thing and a higher power. I need the third step, because the third step allows me to not have any control. I can let go. I can be that drug addict that I want to be and just let go and not have any responsibility, because I'm not going to, what, I can't control it anyway, so just turn it over. And that sense of freedom makes me like, oh, it's just such a relief to be like, okay, like no amount of worrying is going to change the outcome. I think I heard the other day where it was like, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. And that's where I try and reside. Like, I'm just like, almost gone, I'm not going to try and figure this one out, because what am I going to do? So now, in my sobriety, I'm thrilled that I have tools that I can use. I'm glad that I even can see that I am a flawed person, and that I have like the willingness to like acknowledge that and not feel shame and feel like here is here and the time is now and like whatever, I'm living in now. And whatever it is, the other day I left this message on a machine of an office that I was dealing with, and I, you know, may or may not have told them that they were lazy and that, you know, they were ineffective. It got back to me. The person came and was like, did you leave a message on the machine this morning? And I was like, what? Yes, I did. And then I had to go and apologize to these two girls who answered the phone, and I was, what is so weird about this program, I was so happy to go and apologize to them. And the second that I apologized to them, they were like, it's okay, you're funny when you're mad. And I was like, ah, cool. Tell my boss. But it's like those opportunities where I'm like, I am not, like, I'm a human being in this world, and flawed is okay. And like the fact that my brain tells me crazy things and that I can accept that is amazing, because I can choose something else. And that's like such a gift. Because before, all I chose was like isolation, vodka, pot, like just the stupidest thing on earth. And it's like so easy to like, I mean, it's a struggle to like choose something else, but the opportunity is there to choose something else. And like that to me is like so golden because, you know, I don't know, it's just funny. Being alive is funny. We're like jelly sacks. We're like bones. We're just like silly, like, you know, bleep, 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 all like together. Like, it's not that serious. And like, we make it so serious and destroy ourselves. And it's like, this program has allowed me to be like, I'm a jelly sack. And that's totally fine. And like, just do God's will. Just do what's in front of me and just try and be cool to other people. I think that's all I've got. And you're giving me the fist? Awesome. Cool. Thank you. Thanks very much, friends.